Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That was awesome.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
It's been a long time actually since we've called ourselves this. Another episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
LT.
Yes.
Is new to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm sure everyone but maybe Aaron heard you last week.
And I came back.
I actually sent her a message to tell her to listen to episode 116 so she could get all the skinny on the changes, but yeah. So anyway, we are here to discuss Fear the Walking Dead's season premiere, season 6, episode 1, titled "The End Is the Beginning," with a little bit of coverage, hint, hint, on season 1, episode 2 of The Walking Dead World Beyond called, what the hell is it called?
Why are we watching this?
Yeah. It's called, Why Are We Watching This? No, in all seriousness, it's called The Blaze of Gory.
What?
What a dumb name. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, John Bon Jovi didn't think so.
I don't think he says, shot down a blaze of glory. Anyway, so we'll eventually get to that, but we're going straight into season 6, episode 1, titled "The End Is the Beginning." Written by the showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, and directed by co-executive producer Michael E. Satrazimus, the description is as follows. Mortally wounded Morgan must decide whether to help a desperate stranger while a mysterious bounty hunter tried to finish what Jenny couldn't.
What?
Oh, Jenny.
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 All right. LT, what did you think of The End Is the Beginning?
Well, I had to give it an 8.5 out of 10. It's part of the social contract.
Nice. I gave it an 8, sweet smell of gangrene in the morning.
I gave it a 9. Morgan Jones is dead. You're dealing with someone else now. So I love that line. In fact, I probably gave it 2 points just for that line.
I think all love that line.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. So we have some listener ratings. LT.
All right. Glennis from Toronto gives it a 9.5 out of 10. Morphed, mortified Morgans.
Wow. She loved it.
Yeah. Surprising. Deanna from Detroit gave it an 8 out of 10. The Axe Man cometh.
And Renee from Atlanta says 8 out of 10. Yeah. Hug emoji. Morgan is finally okay with losing himself. And that is a strong arm emoji, strong arm emoji. I don't know what else to call it. Yeah. Flexing muscles emoji. All right. So let's move on to Awesome Sauce.
All right. Starting with Dieta from Detroit, says Morgan giving the Axe Man a taste of his own medicine. I didn't think he was going to do it, but he did. Off with his head. Yes.
Yes, I agree. All right, next is Glenn's from Toronto, and she says, the look on Virginia's face when opening the named Morgan Jones box and seeing the bounty hunter's head instead of inside instead of Morgan's words must have given her a chill to run up her spine. Although she tried to put on a brave face and laugh it off while looking panically around, expecting Morgan to jump out at her at any second, she's definitely bitten off more than she can chew with Morgan. Yeah.
Yeah, she has. A pissed off Morgan is not a Morgan that you want to deal with.
Nope.
Renee from Atlanta says, Morgan lives, but he's no longer Morgan Jones. Thank the heavens.
Yep.
Then she says, the new Morgan has an axe and he's going to annihilate Virginia like his bestie Rick Grimes would do.
Weapons upgrade.
let's hope so.
Yeah. And then next comes from Aaron from the internet, the cinematography exclamation point. It was such a joy to see everything on screen in actual colors instead of a washed filter or singular color tint. The locations all popped thanks to the choice, and it just made the show feel so fresh and happy in a way which makes the fear factor rise because it feels more real now that you can see everything coming at you. They said what you don't see is the scariest thing of all, but sometimes what you can see is still really scary too. I hope they continue using this filming style for the rest of the season because, again, it's great to be able to see everything again. Big smiley face. definitely have to agree. I thought this episode had a very different style than, I don't know, just
yeah,
a little different than what we've seen over the last two seasons.
Yeah,
definitely so.
And she continues, I also did like Virginia's thread at the end. I'll add every single one of them to this pile, one by one. It's nice we have a decent villain back at least. I can't complain with that. It's interesting to see her that we've seen before, but then she's also on The Boys, and she's not quite that, you know, terrifying on there. But, like,
yeah, I haven't seen her on there.
Well, I'm sure some of our listeners have, but it's yeah. I like her being in the strong role. And
that is a show that I keep hearing to go watch, but it's one of those things that, you know, I just haven't
Haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for listener awesome sauce. So what about us?
Well, since I know that all three of us are going to fight over who talks about it, I'm just going to default to the, I think it's Kyle's going to get it, but we'll talk about Morgan's speech at the end more later. I really love the way that Virginia had that look on her face after he delivered the line. Cause I think she knows. I had definitely, this was the best start of a season they've had in two seasons.
Yeah.
I think this episode was really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. I think this is the best start since season four. I thought the season four start was awesome. The start for season three was also awesome. The start for the other seasons, not as awesome.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I also wanted to call out the actor Demetrius Gross playing Emile LaRue, our bounty hunter.
Was that his last name? I didn't catch it.
Sir? It's Gross, I think.
No. I meant LaRue as the character.
Yeah.
I missed that.
I had to look it up.
Okay. Because
I don't think they ever mentioned him by name.
Okay.
But I was going, he is really just playing that, you know, cowboy bounty hunter, you know, just so well.
Yeah.
And when I looked up his name, I noticed that he was in Westworld.
Ah.
So he's had some cowboy experience.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm missing out on Westworld. Sorry.
Yeah, that's another one on the list.
Yeah, that show I watched the first season and haven't gone back to. And it was funny because I edited a podcast in season two, not all the episodes, but some of the episodes for season two of Westworld, and didn't watch the show. So I didn't have HBO, so, you know, what was I going to do?
Right.
But
also liked the bean speech in the very beginning.
Yeah, I did too.
Because it was just the whole thing of, well, you know, the legume is one of the oldest cultivated things of mankind. And, you know, being a southerner, we take our legumes very seriously. I'm also kind of excited about the submarine.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I know that there's probably some submariner out there that'll call me to task on it. Didn't look like a missile boat, but just the fact that they've got this huge beached whale of a submarine as a plot wrinkle, I'm just, that kind of excites me. It's something different, something new.
Yeah, I wanted to know where, because it was like, we're kind of, well, I mean, that's...
Well, they've already got one dried up lake, Kyle, so...
I know, but it's like, you know, submarines don't go into lakes. They're usually near the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. How did it get there?
Yeah, which makes me now, just you like bringing that up, it's like, oh, well, Emil said something about Galveston, so I'm like, well, maybe where those people are that we see at the end, you know, spray painting, it's right. Like, maybe that's...
Well, and ironically, there is a Submariner's memorial in Galveston Harbor, but the submarine they have there, I think it's a World War II boat, and it's actually up on the island encased in concrete, if I remember correctly. But it'll be, like I said, it'll be interesting to see where they go with it.
Yep. Agreed. All right. Well, mine is just kind of basically Sphere is back. Morgan is alive and the titles are beautiful. And I'm so glad that they're keeping up with that style. So was very happy to see it. Not that I was not expecting that, but it was just, we've gone without for so long. It's just like kind of getting back in the swing of things. I'm like, oh, that's right. They always do that, like, kind of stylized title sequence, and very glad that it's there.
Well, it looks different.
Yeah, but it's still...
I do like the kind of really Western thing that they've come up with, and you can see that, you know, in the silhouette, it's Morgan, you know, which originally I didn't, you know, take that as Morgan. I thought it was a bounty hunter.
Right.
But then when I went back and watched it, it's like, oh, yeah, that looks like Morgan, not the bounty hunter.
Yeah.
Even though he's got, yeah.
Yeah, it's just cool because it's like, you know, we have Walking Dead, we have a World Beyond, but it's just like, it's one of those things that does like separate Fear from the rest of them, is just the way that they're like, they've been doing this. And it's just a different little fun little, you know, they say it's like, oh, you once at the end of the season, you know, like they did, like, what was it, season 4? It's like, oh, it will tell its own story. And it's kind of like, well, yeah, it's like, it's just, I don't know, it's just fun. It gives it kind of like a new thing that's where, you know, instead of just being like, oh, The Walking Dead,
and it's like, kind of branding.
Yeah.
So they have their own kind of.
Yeah. And I enjoy it. I totally love it. Next is Morgan still has his bow staff skills, which I never. It's just the fact that this episode showed a lot of him, you know, using that as a weapon. Obviously, he gets a weapon upgrade, but it was just still like, you know, even at his, like, you know, weakest,
severely messed up condition.
Or right, he's like, he still has that skill, and it was just fun to see because I'm like, you know, it's not, you know, that's a very unique and interesting, just kind of like extension of your own body that he saw. You know, he's always had, but it's just like, it's cool to see. I don't know. I just enjoyed it. The music and the Western feel of the show, like, I'm loving that a lot. I mean, I was reading and hearing a lot of stuff before this even started that it's like, oh, there's kind of like a, you know, like last season, some of our like favorite episodes were like very Western, you know, with John Dory and just like the whole scenes and how it felt and the setup and stuff like that. And if they're going to run with this, I'm like, I think this is like a really good thing. I think it's going to make the show that much more enjoyable, but it's just, I don't know, it's just fun. I don't know, just kind of has this whole different feel, and I enjoy it compared to what we're used to. I already talked about the weapons upgrade, but the fight scene between Morgan and Emil, like we were talking last like last episode during the Walking Dead finale of just like the beta and Daryl and I guess, you know, Negan on the side, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, that was supposed to be this fight scene, whatever. But it's like, this fight scene was like really, really, I don't know. I enjoyed it. And maybe that's because I felt lacking that I was expecting so much from, you know, previous show, but it was just like, you know, it's like he stuck his fingers like in his bullet wound, you know, and just like the axe and all this stuff. And it just like, it ended with Morgan, like the guy or Emil was just saying, it's like, I don't know, I remember exactly what he said, but he's just like, you're not going to do it, or like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Morgan cuts his head off, and I was like, yes!
it's the showdown fight we wanted with Beta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And it was a good scene. It was a lot of fun. It was exciting. It was scary. And it was just like, oh, it's like what we were lacking from the finale of Walking Dead. I feel like we got it here. And then, of course, the end with Morgan telling Jenny, Morgan Jones is dead. You're dealing with someone else. And then cue the rattlesnake sound.
I don't have the rattlesnake sound, so you're not going to get it. And I'm not going to put it in because, dude, you took my only awesome sauce. That's the only one I had, and you took it. So that's it. So
that's okay. I'm such a nice guy. I was going to take it first, and both of you could have been, hey.
I'm sorry, but when I saw that, I'm like, I'm leaving this in. I'm going to play it exactly like this. I don't want it. I want to complain about it. Anyway. Yep. But, I mean, this episode, it was what I needed it to be. It got my attention, and it makes me excited for the rest of the season. And, you know, seeing how we really had a lot of problems with last season, mm-hmm. and a lot of season four, especially that second half. Actually, the first half was great. The second half was the terrible half. I needed this to pretty much, you know, hit a home run. And, you know, whether you could call it a home run, I don't know, but certainly the performance of Lenny James, and I thought the characters were great and the writing was mostly great. So, for me, although I do have some negatives to bring up, all in all, I thought this episode was really good. And, I do have some negatives, which is why it's a 9 and not higher, but still, it was a good episode. All right, so with that, let's move on to the week variety.
You're worthless and weak.
All right, Glenn's from Toronto says only a few minor sauces. All the stuff in Morgan's water tower home. How did he get up there with all that stuff in his weakened state? How did Isaac manage to haul Morgan up to his pad at the water tower after Morgan was collapsed on the ground in that town? Superhuman strength? Rachel had just given birth and she buries her husband. Again, superhuman strength?
Glynis, you took mine.
Yeah, Glynis, those are, there's definitely, yeah.
And she was going, well, not really a weak sauce as such, just an observation. But they again needed to wound Morgan, as when he's 100% healthy, no one can beat him.
True.
Yeah.
Well, we knew he was going to be. We knew he was going to be wounded because we saw that at the end of the season. So
yeah,
that's not a big shock. But
yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, next comes from Renee from Atlanta, and she says, where the hell did this guy come from with this freaking axe? I'm assuming he's a bounty hunter for Virginia, and if he lasted longer than one episode and we were able to get a backstory, I think we could have been a great new addition to Fear the Walking Dead. Mm. Facepalm emoji. Like, seriously, stop throwing random people in the mix and killing them in one episode. That's the problem with the Fear. They're always all over the place. More facepalm.
Yeah, and I know I've seen that later in the feedback as well. I believe Aaron mentions that too. And I totally agree that this would have been a character that it would have been good to see for at least a few episodes. Well written, well, great, you know, well acted, as you said, LT. And it's just, you know, kind of sad in a way that we only get one episode with the guy. It's kind of like Here's Not Here with Eastman. Like, he was great, if you remember. And but we only got the one episode out of him. So, you know, that's just, it's unfortunate that happens sometimes. But yeah, it would have been nice to get a little, you know, two or three episode arc out of this with him, because he was definitely an interesting character. It does make you wonder, though, if he had to go to Galveston and Ginny wasn't the one that sent him there, who was sending him to Galveston?
Exactly.
Yeah. So there must be some other group that is out there, or maybe someone else. I don't know. Some other leader within the Pioneers. I don't know. I'm not sure, but it does make you wonder.
She continues, I'm over Morgan and Carol, acting as if they're the only two people that have been through something. It's seriously like 10 years in. Everybody's gone through some type of loss. I prefer when both of them lose their self, because that's when they become a force to be reckoned with. Well, I mean, I can't argue with that. I mean, it's just, I kind of think, at least in my opinion, it's like, yeah, it's like, if they move on and like try to like, because Morgan obviously is like, yeah, last season was kind of like, oh, he was still again like acting like, oh, I've like, I can't let people near me, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of like, I try to let those things go. And if they keep doing it, then yeah, it's like, okay, then I'm going to have a problem. But it's like, I feel like we're on a whole new like season, new kind of thing. It's like, if they can just make that not a big deal, then, you know, it's like, and move on and develop Morgan as a new person. And Carol kind of like, you know, she's had her problems, but then she, I feel like that's a, I don't know, just like Carol's big deal was like, I feel like was more about just like children and, you know, like not necessarily like, oh, she doesn't want to hurt like other people in the group and this and that. I always felt like that her whole like line of grief and problems, it was just dealing with being the mom and children and like being in that kind of a role. So I kind of let that, okay, you know, go by, just because we saw her, you know, beginning. It's like her whole life started in this apocalypse with losing her daughter, mm-hmm. and then losing her other, you know, children that she was trying to take care of or like be a mom supported role, to being like, okay, I can't deal with that. Morgan, yeah, it's like he's got his issues too, but I don't know. I don't weigh them in the same place. It's just like
survivor's guilt.
Yeah. And
you know, I mean, we've seen that, and a lot of characters have it. Morgan definitely has it. Carol has it. Probably Andrea had it.
Yeah.
A little bit. Rick also has it, you know, you could say has/had it.
Yeah, and I think what Renee is probably maybe getting at, though, is just like when Morgan switched over to Fear, you know, it was like he brought a lot of his baggage from The Walking Dead, and the way he, like, his send off was, it was kind of like, okay, well, you know, it's like we get it. It's almost kind of like he was just basically re-explaining to a new group about all the troubles and problems that he had, and it was kind of like, okay, they kind of went with that. So hopefully they don't make that mistake and they just keep moving forward. And then just, you know, like if he does end up in this like season, turning back around and being like, oh, no, like I just can't because, you know, I'm like, whatever, and taking a black sharp into his forehead, then I'll be like, okay, well, then you guys screwed this up. But, you know, it's like I can still kind of tolerate like him having his, you know, issues. But if he can,
now that he's not Morgan anymore.
Right. So it's like maybe that's
kind of a good thing. He should turn over a new leaf. Yeah. I agree. And June would be another one. And for that matter, I would say everyone from the stadium has survivor's guilt too because of Madison, you know. Right. So it's worth saying for that as well. Yeah. So anyway, let's move on. That's it for our listener week sauce. So LT, start off with you. What do you have?
Okay. In my tradition of things about fear that I want to complain about. So why is it?
You guys are going to fight over this kind of stuff.
So why is it that Mr. Bounty Hunter is sitting there enjoying his campfire and he leaves the lights on his
pickup truck? Yes. I noticed that too. And I wondered that. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, you know, a battery, once it goes dead.
Yeah, but wait,
there's nobody to start it up.
That's true, Brian, but this is Fear the Walking Dead. We have magic batteries from Texas that never go bad.
We don't see that big solar panel array that's on the back of his truck. We just don't know.
Or the zombie apocalypse AAA.
Yep. Yeah, all you need to do is just get like a bunch of zombies together or walkers together, as they say on this show, unlike empties on this other show. This other quote unquote show, just get them all together and, you know, create a hydroelectric plant of zombie walkers.
Or get a generator and make them walk in circles.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. My next one was, I know you said it, Kyle, but for somebody with a gangrenous 6-week old chest wound, Morgan managed to kick a lot of butt in this episode.
Yes, he did.
Climb a lot of ladders, you know, fight a lot of walkers. And just to be pedantic, as I am often wont to do, you know, he's got a bullet in his chest near his heart, 6 weeks old. And if he's that gangrenous, it's going to take more than just cutting the bullet out to fix that. So.
Yep, and I can answer that because he was on drugs. And you see that when he walks into his room or his
Yes, but tower. We don't know what kind of drugs those were.
No, I know. I totally agree.
If he was taking antibiotics, he wouldn't have gangrene. So,
well, maybe he was taking Flintstone vitamins. I don't know.
Who knows? My other
anti-gangrenous
one was
gangrenous. Yeah.
Yes, anyway. he went and got his anti-gangrene supplement. But
that's lost some of its potency. So, yeah.
Well, the next one for me was, how lucky is Morgan that the one guy he runs into in the middle of the apocalypse just happens to be a combat medic?
just figures. There's always, it always ends up that it just happens to be the one person that you need.
The guy.
Right. The guy.
Yeah, you know, it's not that, oh, no, he ran into a marine wheeled vehicle mechanic or something else. I had a gripe about the note that I tried pausing it. I tried, jiggling my head. I went back through. I could never read the note from the guy whoever stitched him up. I didn't catch the whole deal with the note.
I wrote it down.
Oh, good. Because I didn't catch it either.
Yeah. Yeah. It said, it's like, you don't know me, but I heard your message. You need to do the same. You still have things left to do. That's what it said.
Okay. So that's anonymous person that saw one of the tapes at the truck stops.
Then. Yeah. And I think the note is the same person that saved Morgan after, he got shot from the walkers. Because he does talk about that.
And I think my last thing is something that we're probably all going to talk about, but I'm going to go ahead and say, it's my same old rant. It's the Walking Dead. If they get a car, they're going to have to do something to get shed of their wheels to put them back on their feet. We had talked about it, and I'm without going into it, because I think one of the two of you are going to probably do it, but doggone it, it's a truck. I looked at that scene and I'm going, are you such a suburbanite used to driving a Prius that if there's, a yardstick in the driveway, you're not going to drive over it?
This one, Kyle, you're not going to steal on me.
Okay.
I want this one badly.
Well, so. I the only other comment I would make is I don't think he was driving, but
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Lenny James is English, so I know they're not known for their 4x4.
Yes, but crowd. Morgan Jones is not. So
that's true. But
right.
But yeah, I'll let you go. But it's it's just the fact of they've got a truck with gas in it.
We can all analyze this together. Yes. I will take the lead. I will take the lead, but we will all analyze this together because this will require several minutes of just. Yeah. You want to know why this was a 9 and not a 10? The seed that we're going to talk about. So, okay. Anyway.
Well, Kyle, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Well, I didn't have an issue with Emil, the axe-wielding bounty hunter, like a Renee, you know, kind of did. But it was like, I kind of was glad that he was finished off in this episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
So why is he in your weak sauce?
Well, I was just kind of replying back to Renee because it's like, I'm glad that he only, I guess that's, yeah. Why is it weak? I don't know. I couldn't even know. Just because I was like, I was trying to replay it, but it's weak to hear that to like want to have him more. I mean, I don't know. I guess it was good to see. Because
I disagree with you. I said it earlier.
Yeah, well,
but it's fine. You know, I mean, you got what you wanted, so you know.
Yeah, well, but I did think that the only thing that I got out of him, besides just being like, oh yeah, he's kind of like going after Morgan, blah blah blah, and he failed, was just like he did mention that he had like this delivery in Galveston, and so it was just like, okay, so what was that all about? Because now I don't know if we're gonna know, but I don't know.
Well, that was what I was talking about earlier is like, we don't know. And it would be, it sounds like he had another contract or another, you know, thing to do. Someone else was sending him to Galveston. Who was it?
Yeah.
Is it part of her group? Is it other group that we don't know about? Is it the CRM that sent him? Who knows? We don't know.
I guess I got it. The reason maybe I was putting it in weak was just because it was like having like a little flashback of like Resident Evil. It's just like, okay, here's the big guy. He's got all this like, you know, he's like, he seems very powerful and he can just like come around and like chasing you everywhere. And I was just like, okay, I kind of wanted like Morgan to just be like, okay, get through this. You're getting better. And then of course the end ended up being like, oh, Morgan's dead. It's like you're dealing with somebody else. And to me, I was kind of like, okay, cool. Move him aside. Let's get back to the rest of the group and like, you know, not this like, Jenny's going to just start throwing all these bounty hunters his way. And, you know, it's just like, let's just get past the fact that Morgan's better now and then we can move forward.
Okay.
And then Morgan tripping and falling when the walkers come and running. I think it's just because, you know, we saw this in World Beyond with Hope falling off the treehouse ladder. This seems to always be that same. Is this a trope?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. Well, we even got that in World Beyond this week with the one guy who I like to call the Doctor Who kid. Because his thing looks like one of the Doctor Who's. Yeah. Corduroy suit guy.
Yes.
he fell and it was a similar kind of thing.
Yeah. It just seems like always.
There's always got to be somebody that always falls. It is a TV trope.
Like right at the exact moment that you shouldn't trip and fall. It's like when you trip and fall and then it's just like, okay, so is everybody a klutz in the DA? Because always hit.
I will talk more about Corduroy guy later.
It's the classic horror movie trope.
Yep.
You know, you always fall down at the worst possible time.
Don't go there. And then where they go?
They went.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's predictable. You just know it's like, oh, of course he fell. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It's like, and then the last part, because since we're going to be heading towards some truck talk, was like, please stop leaving your keys in the ignition. And it's like, and while you're at it, it's like, if you steal someone's fully loaded vehicle and you're going to ditch it, it's like, can you just clean it out? Like take the supplies, like puncture the tires. Like if you're not going to use it, just like, why don't you strip it of every valuable object it has, because this person obviously has been using it for very good things, like, you know, like to survive and very do true. Stuff. So it was just like, why you just leave it on the side of the road? I'm sure there was medicine there. There's bullets. Who knows? Weapons. And they're just like, oh, let's get out.
Or how about not leave it at all?
Well, right. Which I left that for you.
Yes. Okay. But before we get to that, I'll just bring up just a goofy thing to say. You notice how Walter didn't get a last name. Like, he just gets a box that says Walter on it. So, like, he's like Madonna. So, he's like, you know, Walter, please welcome Walter. And I thought the bounty hunter was the same, but thankfully, you got, LT, you corrected that, so he wasn't. But Isaac, I don't think we got a last name for him either.
No, I didn't see one.
But for that matter, why on these shows do we get these people that don't get last names? Like, some do. And some don't. Grace, do we know a last name for her? I don't think so. Do we? I don't think so. Then we get like Michonne. It's Michonne. I don't know. Andrea. Again, we don't know her last name. Ezekiel. I guess his name is Ezekiel King or something.
Ezekiel's his last name. His first name's King.
There you go. June, we didn't know. Like, obviously now her last name is Dory, but, you know, we didn't know her last name before. Althea, oh, wait a second. We did get a last name for her. And I don't remember it. It's a big long ass name.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's a Berkowitz. I don't know.
Morgan Krantz.
It is...
I remember spending a lot of time on this.
Skewitz Przegoski, S Z E W C Z Y K dash P R Z Y G O C K I.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I had to look it up on the Walking Dead wiki to get the right spelling. That's right. Seth Check. I remember how she said it. Seth Check Bragaki. I think that's how she says it. So, okay. So anyway, moving on. Morgan, if you don't want to kill the guy, why shoot him in the arm? Like, shoot him in the leg, shoot him in the kneecap, shoot him in the foot, something to, you know, like, demobilize him. But don't shoot him in the arm where he can keep going. And for that matter, at the end of that scene, I didn't even see any blood. Like, I saw blood come out when he first shot him, but when he's like walking away, I didn't see anything. Yeah. So,
yeah, I thought he shot him in the arm because that's his axe wielding arm, but then he uses his other arm. So he's ambidextrous.
Yeah. Okay. So the scene that we have been hinting at is the scene when Isaac and Morgan leave the truck. Okay. So to me, this was not a fault in writing. This was a fault in production. Like, either the set guys or the special effects guys or people not strong enough to carry, you know, weight guys. I don't know. The fake log guys, I don't know. But the obstruction that they put across this road to stop this truck was grossly, grossly inadequate.
It was sad.
It was like, when I first saw it, my reaction was, what the f-? Like, seriously, like, what the hell? How could they possibly need to, like, leave? I could see if maybe the truck had run out of gas.
Right.
But that's not what happened here. So, okay. Why are we saying this? So let's look at the visual evidence, shall we? So in our little document, we have taken pictures of the scene. And we have one of the pictures where I think Kyle, you provided it, where we see the major obstruction, which is in front of the road, yes. But it's not that big. Like, with a truck like this, They may even be able to run over the darn thing. I don't know. But besides that point, it only comes across the road. Like, it's not like it goes, you know, several hundred feet across or something like that. Well,
they're not like this heavily wooded area. It's like clear on all sides.
Yeah, clear on all sides.
It's like one tree.
Yeah.
And I'll even go a step further, Brian. I'll see your objection and I'll raise you one. The fact that it's an F-250 or an F-350. Right. It's a big truck.
Exactly.
And not 5 minutes before, what was he doing with it? He was pulling over a water tower. And what was he using to pull over said water tower? A tow strap.
Yep. Good point.
And okay. So we're worried about the guy that you shot in the arm instead of the leg coming after you've careened down the road at a high rate of speed in his stolen truck, dragging a tow strap.
Yeah.
And you let a 10-year-old pine tree that's fallen across the road make you abandon your vehicle. I mean, you're still dragging the tow strap. You know,
yeah, I mean, for that matter, they could just, you know, take the tow strap and just pull the darn thing out of the way, you know.
And like I said, if you look at the picture, there's a gap.
Mm-hmm. There is a gap. Yes. Oh, is there a gap? And that's the second picture that I took. And that we see Morgan and Isaac walking away, and clearly to the left.
Yes.
it is so obvious that there is more than enough space for that truck to just drive through it and have no trouble whatsoever to get past that log area, you know, tree area. There's so much room. They could, it's almost like they've passed a road. Like it almost looks like an extension of the road. Yeah. There.
Turn right.
Yeah. And then, you know, I took a third picture of it, and it's basically where Isaac is walking back to the truck. And again, we can see clearly in this picture that there's so much room there. It's like
I would even say, Brian, that's the cleared off spot from where people were driving around the tree.
Exactly. Seriously, this is, again, this is not a fault of the writing for this, not really a fault of the acting. This is a fault of the directing and the people that are in charge of this for, you know, this kind of stuff, like the special effects stuff and even visual effects. It's like if they didn't have enough in here, draw them in.
Right.
You know,
and I'd go just one more step. It's whoever is out there doing their scouting, you know, find a ditch. You know, if you've got a backhoe and you're somewhere where you can do it, dig a hole. I mean, this is just, and you've heard me say it, that's why it's The Walking Dead. You know, all their cars are made by Apple. So if something happens, they brick and they don't work anymore. It's one leap of, I'm saying it wrong. It's one leap of suspension of disbelief too far for me.
I think it's a couple. It's just like, it's one of those things. It completely takes you out of the element. And it was a really good story. And then you see this and it's like, come on. Like this, to me, this fault here is not anywhere near as bad as the one that I love to keep going back to, whereas Morgan falls asleep in the back of a truck and ends up in Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know, that one, to me, is a failure on every count. This is a failure just on, this is not a failure on writing. That was a failure on everything. But this is a failure just in editing, visual effects, directing,
yeah,
almost everything. you know, acting and writing were okay. Everybody else gets a fail on this particular scene to me.
I mean, yeah, just do something. You know, we've talked about Morgan's trailer. My complaint was way back with Abraham's army truck that Eugene shot a hole in the gas tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the one that always killed it for me, because I'm going, that's the easiest to fix thing in the world. But yet, you know, now the truck's bricked. We can't use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I blame COVID. Well, they ran out of interns, and so they're like, oh crap, like this is as much as we can get done.
That's the thing. Like, we know that they had to fix, or they had to, you know, they had, if I remember what I've heard correctly, and I believe that I do, this COVID hit while they were in the middle of shooting. So they had shot, I think, the first 8 episodes of Fear, and then they had to stop. And so they still have to shoot episodes 9 to 16, or they're, I don't know what the state of it is right now, but they still had to. But the point was, they had 8 episodes to fix up in 6 months. So, or 7 months, actually, come to think of it, because I think they stopped in March. So it's like, they couldn't fix this one. Like I said, okay, they couldn't shoot the scene over again. That's fine. Fix it. Just throw some fake logs in, you know, just, it's easy enough to do. After Effects. It's, you know, that's what it's made for.
Photoshop in a ditch.
Exactly. Oh, sure. Yeah. Anything like that. Anything to, you know, or a pond or something. I mean, maybe that was a pond. Maybe it was just like a really danky looking pond that looked like dirt. I don't know. But right. Yeah, they could have made it look like a pond. So, okay, enough of that.
Okay.
We didn't like that scene. Let's just, you know, let's just cover that and say we didn't like that scene. Let's move on to our what sauce.
What?
Well, we didn't have any listeners' what sauce, but I'll go into mine then. And I guess we kind of talked about this a little bit, but it was just like the submarine in the middle of the desert. And it was just like, I couldn't tell if they were near an ocean or anything, but I kind of was like, okay, like it strikes my curiosity, but I was just kind of like, okay, well, we know we're in Texas, or at least, you know, depending on like whatever scenes or where everybody's is in that general area. You know, it was kind of like my first thought was like, oh, are these people like closer to the West Coast? Or is this, you know, like Gulf of Mexico? But it just, to see a submarine, I think that kind of was just like, huh? I guess the next, and actually, Glynis kind of brought this up too, where it was like, you know, it was like, so Caroline, Isaac's wife that had the baby, whatever, it's like she had the time and energy to bury Isaac with rocks while holding a brand new baby.
Yeah.
Unless I kind of was like, I mean, it was nice. And so it was kind of like, oh, this is a sad thing, but like, whatever. But I was like, did they like pre-dig their graves maybe and just have it all ready? So I don't know. It was just interesting. And then, yeah. And then just Morgan, like he had so many moments of just like, either it's just like adrenaline is a hell of a thing if it actually works that way when you need it.
Yeah, well, it can. One question I had, and I'm making an assumption here, that the Pioneer, the Rangers, I guess, as Isaac called them, were looking for Morgan. They shoot out that limo, but they don't bother to go look inside of it. So, you know, that was pretty weak. So it was almost a weak sauce for me, but I decided to put that into the what sauce. The last thing that I had is, so how long were Isaac and Morgan talking and walking? Because Isaac seemed to have the cliff notes on every character that's in Fear the Walking Dead. When they're coming back, you know, he's like, what was it? oh, wasn't she the speed reading one? And
yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, that was, I was like thinking, what are they? They've been walking for the last 2 days or something. I don't know. That just seemed a little
much
stretching of, yeah. Yeah. But not enough for me to put it into week. Okay, so let's move on to our sad or aw sauce.
Aww. Well, Dieta from Detroit says Isaac's death after saving Morgan and his baby. I didn't know he had gotten bitten before finding Morgan.
None of us did.
None of us did.
Nope. All right, so that's it for our listeners' sad / aw sauce. And we just were hearing from you, LT, but you have your own sad / aw sauce.
I do. Isaac giving his all for Morgan. You know, we get this character. He's trying to save his wife. And the fact that he ends up basically sacrificing himself to try to find somebody to help and ends up finding Morgan. And, you know, the fact that his last act was to patch Morgan up after all the fighting and everything, it was sad. And the other one that I'll admit kind of got to me was when Morgan had stumbled into town and they had that long shot into the thrift store window of him staring at the crib. And, you know, and now he's thinking, you know, where's Grace and how's she doing? And just, Got to give the man props for just even through the, you know, I'm mortally injured look on Morgan's face, just that look in his eye when he was looking at the crib. I just thought that was really well acted.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was kind of like went through all the stuff and, you know, everybody kind of, you know, we're all taking each other's kind of same kind of like deal. So I was kind of like, well, what was sad or odd to me? And I kind of was like Emil pulling down Morgan's water tower hideout. Cause I'm like, that place looked dope. Like, I just felt like it was like, he had better like digs than I've seen any of our survivors have outside of like their base camp, you know, prison or Walden town. And it was just like, it looked really, really nice. So I kind of like want something like that if the ZA comes. I'm going to go find a water tower somewhere. I'm going to put mattresses around and like have this. It looked like he had like mid-century furniture. You know, like it just looked really nice. So it was sad to see it come down.
All right, so now that's it for our sad / aw sauce. So now it's time for our feedback section, and it's time to listen to Rick and Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right, so we did get one voicemail in this week, and it's from Renee from Atlanta.
Hi guys, this is Renee from Atlanta. I'm calling about Fear the Walking Dead. Seriously, Alan, listen, I have The Walking Dead on my mind. I mean, what is it? I'm having a brain freeze right now. Fear the Walking Dead. I'm talking about that's what I'm talking about. Morgan, I mean, seriously, I'm like the same way I felt about Carol. I'm over Morgan. Morgan, you're doing the most. But I'm glad that Morgan Jones is dead. I'm hoping that Morgan Jones is freaking dead because I need you to take Virginia out quick, fast, and in a hurry. Please do not prolong this. Please, 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 please. And the new guy, I can remember his name, the one with the axe, is like, where did he freaking come from? He just came out of the blue. I kind of did not like this story. I like the guy that he met. I kind of like him. He has the wife. Morgan's going to make sure that baby's taken care of. But let me see, did I get a week off? I cannot. Yeah, the week off. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, the new guy with that. That's what I didn't like. But overall, the show was okay. You know, I'm just hoping it's going to be good. I love Fear. I'm not like everyone else. Fear is awesome to me. I just need for them to stop being all over the place. I don't know if you guys said to talk about the new show, The New World, whatever it's called. And that's how I feel about it, whatever it's called. Because it's too slow, it's boring. But like I said, I'm a diehard Walking Dead fan, so hopefully I'm going to stick around going to try my best to stick around because I have to be here for my baby, Rick Grimes. You already know that's my boo. LT, you're doing an awesome job. I love your accent. It is really, it's a Georgia accent, and I love it. So you're doing an awesome job. Okay, guys, talk to you later. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Renee, for your voicemail. It's good to hear from you again. And LT, you got props from Renee. There you go.
And thank you.
Yes. Although I think she labeled you as a Georgia accent. That's your North Carolina, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So.
I love she called the new show New Children of the World. like that. I don't know. I love that.
I mean, it is. Well, we'll talk about it later. Yeah. But yeah. But. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you didn't care for it too much. I do hope that he is going to go after Virginia. I think Ginny needs to have her bell rung, so to speak. So I don't think she deserves mercy when that, you know. But you know, I don't know. It's like a lot of the whole fight was over, like, ethics or whatever, like just a slightly different way of living. And the only difference was that she kills people, I guess. So whereas Morgan saves people. But who's right, who is wrong? Of course, we're going to believe that our side is right and hers is wrong. It's that whole, like, would we be rooting for Negan if we were watching him all the way through? I always contend that the answer is no, we wouldn't be. And I think it's the same for Ginny. I don't think we would be, but that's my take. I will say, in support of what you said, when this show is good, it's really good. When this show is crap, it's really crap.
Yeah.
There's no not much, there's not much middle ground with this show. So, okay. Anything else you guys want to add to that?
No, I'm like, I definitely, like, Morgan better take out Ginny. And I think that I thought it was interesting, though, that Isaac was talking about, because he said he was a ranger, and just seeing the tapes and, you know, like, that he thought it was, like, you know, it was good to see that it's like, they were offering, I guess, like, hope or things, and Ginny makes people pay for it. And so two right. sides of the coin of like how they want to handle stuff. So it's like, this was the first episode, so we don't know what we're going to see. But I think Ginny is definitely going to be like, she's, you know, Morgan, the group and everybody. It's like she better go down, and hopefully in a very good way. Because if it comes to a kumbaya moment, well, then, yeah, then we have something to talk about.
Yeah.
Bad or good. But
it's the same sort of dichotomy between, you know, Rick's group and the Saviors.
Yeah.
That, you know, Negan was always, well, you'll get something, but you'll owe something.
Right.
That Jenny's thing is, you know, for everything you get, you know, you kind of have to sign the contract to give. So I think that's the one of the big differences that we'll see.
Yeah. All right. So we got some written feedback now. LT, why don't you start off?
All right. Deanna from Detroit says, I haven't been a big fan of the show since the original seasons 1 and 2, but I think I see some promise here. I definitely have taken a liking to the new Morgan, especially after he told Virginia, Morgan is dead and you're dealing with someone else now. I got Rick Grimes vibes all through me. And she has a smiley face and looks like I can't tell what the other emoji is. I might actually enjoy this season if it's going the direction I think it is. Morgan is going to take Virginia down and get our people back. Yeah, I just might be a fan again.
And there was actually a comment that Renee from Atlanta left, and this probably should have been left in the Sad Sauce. So this is like a Sad Sauce supplemental, but it was in Dieta's feedback. So we're just going to mention it here. I knew it. I noticed the way he was holding his hand on his side after him and Morgan killed the zombies and they were walking into the new spot. I noticed when Carl got bit as well. Go back and watch the episode and you will definitely notice now that I mention it. Yeah. See, I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
But I guess, oh, you did notice it?
Yeah, I did notice it, but I saw the response from Renee and sorry, Renee, I put it in the wrong spot in the doc. But, yeah, it was he was like holding his side and I didn't know if he was hurt, but I finally was like, okay, that looks like somebody hiding a bite. So,
yeah. So he didn't have the bite before.
No. Well, that's, he said.
He said he got bit the first time he came back.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But he was holding his side after Morgan and, doing their little battle, whatever. And they got coming through the gate or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, that was the first time that we saw something was bothering him. So, he's dead. All right. Well, then next is Glynis from Toronto. And she goes on and says, the bounty hunter asked, is someone there? And then Walter comes out of the trees and happening on the bounty hunter where he was offering food and the rest beside the campfire and truck and then being axed, which was in direct contrast to Morgan happening on John Dory. Also asking if someone is there at his campfire truck and being offered food and candy and rest in season 4, episode 1. It's what the end of Walter and the beginning of Morgan on the new road in season 4. I did get that John Dory feel from that scene. Mm-hmm. It's like very opening scene and it was kind of very.
Yeah.
The same.
It was the same.
Just the guy got his head chopped off. She goes on, the different spin on the walkers not identifying Morgan as alive with his smelly gangrenous wound was a clever idea. I wonder if they'll reveal who rescued Morgan in the season. Sherry enters stage right maybe in season 6, episode 5, which is titled Honey. So Morgan has the key that those two guys were waiting for Walter to arrive with. Is that the key linked to the submarine then or to a bunker somewhere to unlock and launch a missile or two? Do all these keys have an end game in mind that Virginia is planning to put into practice? Good question. Definitely the keys going to be the underlying plot, maybe, for part of the season or the whole season. I could see that being like a... Yeah, up to a mid-season, and then we'll move on. She goes on, we need Eugene to cross over to Fear the Walking Dead to assist with whatever tech is left on that submarine. So Rachel is a surgeon as she moved Morgan's bullet, which was very close to the pulmonary artery and must have had a cut. Must have had to cut a good part of the rotting flesh away, not too straightforward. Opt it all, and Morgan's bandages was real fancy. Careful, being a doctor in the Walking Dead universe doesn't bode well for you. Agreed. I didn't think about Rachel, obviously, having med skills. And now that you said that, I'm like, well, yeah, she was the one that cleaned him up and took care of it. And that totally crossed over me. So, yeah, she's that means she's not due long for this world. But unfortunately, she has a baby, so Judith...
Yeah, double risk.
And then she goes on, I'm really like Morgan's new cowboy Viking persona with axe in tow. Sixth scale figure on its way 3-0. It looks as if he's left the bloodhound behind with Rachel then. Pity, he should have brought the dog with him to complete his new look and for assistance in his quest to get Grace and the rest of the group back together. And then the last she says, so to the episode title, the end of the Walter bounty hunter Isaac and a new beginning for Morgan and Rachel.
All right. Thank you, Glynis, for your great feedback as usual. Okay. So now we got a long one. Well, Glynis was pretty long too, but this is even longer. Aaron from the internet. Okay. So some of this we thought might have been weak sauce, but we decided to make it just in her regular feedback. So she says, unfortunately, and this is following her awesome sauce. That's where my enjoyment for this episode ends. What I didn't like, you know, it's going to be Morgan Jones. Of course we do. If there ever was a Mary Sue character, it's him in this series. Seriously, how is this guy still alive outside of being the producer's favorite? He gets shot at close range, near the heart, and is surrounded by walkers, only to be saved by some mysterious character. How did he survive that shot? How did Virginia not hear the gunshot from the stranger shooting the zombies like he told Isaac? Well, he survived because the contract negotiation was successful. That's what I'm suspecting was true. He had a 2-season contract and they re-signed him in the offseason.
And George R. R. Martin didn't write the original story.
Yeah. So, continues. She says she wasn't that far away when they started to close in. Was this stranger another medic or someone with training? Because how did they know how to patch him up to even that degree? It seems like they're just tripping over medics this season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Why would this person patch him up and then just leave him? Well, I have a theory who that is, by the way. How did he survive the blood loss and infection for so long? Seriously, how can I feel the drama for this guy when they baby him all the time? And then you're going to tell me he has the strength still to climb a water tower and walk everywhere and take on zombies multiple days? Come on, show. I can't disagree with any of that. Literally half dead Morgan, even the zombies didn't want him, can survive months alone, but perfectly healthy Madison, who has a gap in the fence next to her, couldn't escape. she says, F you, show.
Oh, that's too funny.
There were other elements to the episode I disliked as well, such as it didn't feature any of the original main cast members. This episode reminded me a lot of the Nick-centric episode in season 2. And much like it, because I wasn't crazy about Nick having a Morgan-centric episode, especially where everything goes his way, just doesn't work for me. I mean, for me, it reminded me of the season 4 season premiere. That was the one that it reminded me of most. This is the final season I want to see. Okay, so there's a couple things in here. I'm just saying this aside. There's a couple things in her comments that I think are incorrect, or at least they're not correct that we know. So she says, this is the final season. I want to see Strand and Alicia as much as I can for this season because they're part of the group that started this. Fear the Walking Dead was a season started about a family trying to survive the apocalypse, not Morgan Jones. So let me see the last member of that family and her chosen family, Strand and Daniel, to a degree. I know if she survives, it will only be because of fan pressure, but still, I really hope Alicia makes it to the end just to have the series feel like it has some connection to its start. I also disliked how they killed the bounty hunter so fast, as he could have been an interesting character to face off against at least for a few more episodes. And Kyle disagreed, but I agreed. So if you're a Morgan fan, I see how you would love this episode. But for me, I just felt like I wasted an hour of extra sleep watching this, and they wasted an episode for the final season. Now, that's the point that I wanted to bring up. As far as I know, they have not mentioned that this is the final season. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct. I have not heard that.
Yes. Yeah. So, Aaron, I think you're incorrect. They have not announced this being the final season of the show. They haven't announced that it's been renewed. But as far as I know, they haven't announced that it's been canceled either, or that it's ending. They haven't announced that it's going 2 years or whatever. They announced that The Walking Dead is ending next season, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. So this season is, it just ended season 10, or the season end proper, and then they're doing an extra 6 episodes, it ends on season 11, but they did not announce anything as far as Fear the Walking Dead. This may be the last season, but they haven't announced that, and it may not be. I tend to think, my personal thought is what we're going to see. We're going to see a show that's going to include Carol and Daryl. We know about this. It's going to be in 2023. My thought is we're going to have probably at least two more seasons of this show. And they will have characters from this show end up in that show. And we know that could happen because we have Morgan, we have Dwight, and we have probably Sherry. They could join because they already know them. And, you know, then we have John Dory and, you know, whoever else. And of course, I would imagine they would bring Alicia and Strand for sure. So that's where I see things going, but I don't know. So
I know. And I feel like I thought I heard or something insinuated or whatever. It was like, there was not really like, yeah, they haven't announced anything about like, oh, it being renewed for a season 7, but right. I felt like there was like, I don't know if it was from Kimple or just like from just some of the like from wherever, but it was just like, there is a direction for this show, and it is seemingly like they're trying to maybe tie things together at some point to just kind of like wrap it all up so that we can get to some other show, or yeah, like, you know, they could join Carol and Daryl, or we still have the movies. You know, it's like they definitely have time, but I definitely did never have gotten any kind of news or any hint that was like, oh yeah, this is the last season. It was just like, this, you know, there's other stuff going on. We just, you know, they could have, I always thought it's like, there probably is a season 7, and then that maybe was when it would end.
Right. Know? Because I mean, they talked about the main show, but I don't ever remember them saying anything about Fear.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see what they do. I mean, they have.
Yeah, we know that World Beyond has a 2-season commitment, so it's only 20 episodes. We know that, but we don't know anything as far as Fear. Yeah. My thought is, I would guess, based on the ratings and based on the ratings of other shows on AMC, it will get a season 7 renewal, and it will. Beyond that, I don't know, but I would say definitely a season 7 renewal. And then, of course, there's also Tales of the Walking Dead, you know, this anthology show, and we could end up with characters on it for, you know, so many, you know, a single episode or multiple episodes, because that is an anthology.
Right.
You know, so they could do all sorts of things with that. So anyway, my point, I don't think we're going to see the end of these characters at the end of this season.
No.
So anyway, Aaron, rest assured, I think you will see more of Alicia past this season. I don't think they would want to lose Alicia Debenham Carey. I think having her on this show is a big draw still. I think, you know, I think she's a very popular actress and a very good one. So I don't think they would want to lose her. So yeah, that's my take.
No, and I do have to agree with her with like the fact that like Fear started off as being this, you know, a family trying to start the apocalypse, you know, like survive the apocalypse. And I, you know, and that was kind of like, that was the whole premise. That's right. What it was supposed to be about. But then once we got into season 2, and then it just, and then even season 3, you know, and then into season 3, it's like, that's what happens when showrunners change. They decide to kind of take different, like, you know, deals with it. Cause it's like, I would much rather the show has still been Alicia and Alicia, Nick, you know, Strand, Daniel, Madison.
It's
like just like, you know, the crew.
Aaron, and we're on your side. I would like, I love the fact that Morgan's in this, but I would want to see a show with Nick and Madison and Morgan and John Dory and June and basically all of them in there, and Althea too. I love her too. And who could I cut from there? I don't know.
I don't know if you want to ask me or not.
No, we should go for it.
Well, go for it.
Like I said, I only restarted watching Fear because Mr. Melosh pressured me into start sending comment in because I watched the first two seasons and I think Daniel was the only person I really cared if he survived, because I really didn't connect with anybody else. And I really didn't connect with anybody that much.
Yeah. Well, and in first season, especially, I would agree with you. Like those characters were not easy to love. And Daniel was one of the most interesting characters of the bunch. I would say Strand was also a very interesting character as well. But the other characters, you know, like it took me, I'd say 2.5 seasons to love Madison. Once I did, I really loved her, but it took me that long to love her. You know, and there were a couple of times when I just like threw my hands up and like, ah, she did that again. You know, like I remember when she threw the signs, the lights up on the hotel.
Yep.
You know, yes. I was just like, oh, come on, you know, just when I was starting to like you.
I just kept saying the entire time, it's like, tell Nick to look at the flowers.
Yes. I mean, that's my point, though, is that a lot of those characters were tough to love. Like, it took a long time to get to a point to love them. And I finally did. And when I finally got to that point, that's when you started killing him off. You know, it was like the same thing with Travis. Like Travis, you know, after that, the last couple of episodes of season two and the first episode of season one, three, I love that character. So what they do, they kill him off right away.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. It's like once we got to season three, it just like stuff started hitting and it was kind of like, I didn't like Madison beginning and hell, you know, I was like, was like commenting as a, you know, not as a, I didn't join the podcast till season three, but I made a lot of comments during the, you know, season two and just like how I'm like Madison. Yes. And they're like, just like, what the heck is she doing? And like her, I think it was one of my things. It was like her march down Madison Square Garden when she was like trying to take over at the hotel or something. It was just making all this, I don't know, just like stupid stuff. But yeah, it was just, it got better. And it just feel like if they kept Madison, this could be a whole different kind of show, but we'll take what we got.
Yep.
Yep. All right. So let's move on. Thank you, Aaron.
All right. Renee from Atlanta says, overall, I'm happy the show is back, so I'm giving it a pass this week. Unlike most people, I love Fear. On another note, the new show, The World Beyond, is so freaking slow. And if it does not pick up, I'm not sure if it's going to make it. I'm with you guys. The demographics are not conducive to what I watch on TV. It's a little too kiddie for my taste, but I'm loving Felix. He has a little Rick Grimes swag, and she has three little kissy hearty emojis. And then, of course, LT, you did an awesome job. You're going to fit in perfect. And thank you very much.
Yes. Great job you did. And
LT gets some love. Yeah,
and they haven't, yes. And my login still works, so they haven't fired me yet.
Yep. So yeah, I think you're going to fit in quite well.
Yes.
I knew you would. So, and although we still haven't talked about World Beyond, that's the only feedback that we got for World Beyond this week, other than our own notes. So, we'll get to World Beyond in a few minutes, but, anyway, that's it for our listeners on this episode of Fear. Let's move it to you for, LT for our own notes.
Well, as much as Kyle loves the the treehouse water tower, I was kind of going, there's a lot of holes in the roof. So I'm kind of thinking maybe it doesn't rain that much in Texas, but if you got all those mattresses in there, it's going to get kind of musty. And
yeah,
the other thing for me was, yeah, it's great as far as there's only one way in, but the problem is there's only one way out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you get trapped in a tower, then you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
And the other one was, so how stealthy is it to pick a water tower in the middle of the woods that's like all by itself? Granted, good idea for a hide. It's protected from walkers, but it was just the whole thing of it's sort of obvious for me.
Yeah. And the other thing too, if you're shot and you have to go up and down the water tower and you've got a weakened state, couldn't you fall to your death?
Yeah.
Happens, you know, happens to people in tree stands all the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
Or at least you fall and break something.
Yeah, exactly.
He should have brought those kids from last season. They had all.
Yeah, there you go.
or watch your rerun of Swiss Family Robinson.
Yes.
rig up yeah. some kind of like sling basket. Yep. Yeah. When Morgan picked up the axe, when he sort of threw his stick aside and picked up the axe, it was kind of a shift because you remember before Morgan and I can't remember the guy's name, but the cheese guy,
Eastman,
the Zen master cheese guy, when Morgan learned to get his calm and his placid back, we had talked about it maybe the last two seasons that stick was getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And it just, the whole thing we said at the end, it's just a sea change for that character because you saw him go, nope, I'm giving up my Aikido, non-lethal weapon, and I'm switching over to the battle axe. So it's kind of making me wonder if we're going to get some of the new and improved Morgan 2.5, with some of the old killing crazy of the original Morgan, but with the new overlay of the Aikido Zen master Morgan on top of it. But it just seemed like they made it a point to make that transition of when he threw the stick down and picked the axe up.
Yeah, I agree.
And I had to put my pedantic hat on. So he finds the pistol in the police car and the slide is forward, but the magazine is empty. And I don't know if he slide checked it to see if there was a round in the chamber because
I didn't see him do it.
Right. Because theoretically, if there was still a round in the chamber and the magazine was working correct, the slide should have been locked back. So if the slide's forward, the assumption is there may be a round in the chamber.
Hmm. Right.
But the fact is he's got two rounds. And I go back to this. He's got two rounds and he shoots the guy in the arm.
Yep.
I it's like you said, shoot him in the pelvis,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The shooting him in the arm, it didn't work for me. At least if he was trying to shoot him somewhere else and he ended up shooting him in the arm, then I could have seen that, but the way it actually went down, it bothered me.
It seemed pretty deliberate.
Yeah, it did.
So that, and just to dance around it a little bit, you can get a through and through on the bicep and not be gout and blood bad, but yeah. He still shot through the arm.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. I just thought it was just because he was shooting him because that was his axe hand. But then again, you're just like, well, why? If you're going to take a shot, you could have just tried to kill him.
Yeah, but this may still be the last gasp of old Morgan, and he's not trying to kill him. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
He did chop his head.
Yes, he did.
Yep. All right, Kyle, your turn.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I did enjoy the callback of the tapes from last season and Isaac telling Morgan, like, you know, that he saw them and like what they did.
Yeah.
You know, while rather annoying that plot was last season, I don't know. It was good to see that they did make an impact.
I never had a problem with that. Well, maybe I did.
Well, it was more of just like their whole like, you know, cheerio attitude. Like it was like,
yeah,
that whole the way they did the show about the whole plot. I mean, the plot itself was not bad. It was just the way they carried it.
Right.
But you know, but it was kind of nice then to see that it was like that note that Morgan had from whoever saved him. It was kind of like, oh, so everything they did last season, regardless of what we thought about it, you know, like it just carried on to being like, oh, you know, it's like there's people out there that are like, you know, like that saw them, listened to them, and kind of does contrast to basically Jenny's whole, you know, group and philosophy. So I don't know. I kind of enjoyed that. It was nice. Although, yes, I agree that it was like, like that, how long were they walking Isaac and him that he got the whole cliff notes? I didn't even dawn on me to think about, like, oh yeah, it's like he was bringing up I just was like, oh, he was telling him the story, like, of, you know, it's like, how cute.
That seems like it would have been a story told over days. That's why, it, you know,
several campfires, just, like, you know, yeah. Oh, we still have two more days to get to the dam.
Yeah. And that's why as soon as I started thinking about it, it wasn't like a thing where, like, I thought of this on, you know, multiple watchings, because I saw this episode like 1 2/3 times. So that part I did see twice, but it's still, when I first saw it, I'm like, he seems to know a lot about this.
Morgan's a fast talker.
And then of course Morgan, you know, takes exception to the fact that, hey, you know, you knew my name. It's like, well, he knew a lot more than your name. But I guess, you know, then again, if he saw the tapes, he probably would have seen all these people.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's part of the thing. So, okay. So maybe I'll give it a slight pass. Maybe it's not so much Morgan had to tell the entire story because he's seen the tapes and he's seen.
Yeah, he knew them. He already knew like who they were, and then
maybe. Okay, so I'll be a little less, you know, hard on it, but still.
Yeah.
And I'll agree with what others have said. It was just like, as soon as Isaac said he was a medic in the military, like, he was a goner. Like, it's like, we can't have nice things in the ZA.
Yeah.
Never happens. Now I worry about Caroline, because she's, I wonder if we'll see her again. I don't know. The dam is a hideout. It's like, I really didn't even think about like, because he did say, he's like, this used to be like a lake. And then, or they, he, like he was saying, is like his grandfather told him stories. So it's like they flooded a whole town to build this dam. And, you know, then once the dam broke or whatever, it's like, then that revealed this, like, I guess, apparently it seemed to be in pretty decent condition, like a town or like buildings. But I didn't think about it at all. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like if people, like survivors or like, you know, Jenny and stuff, they're using maps, it's like they would have saw that as like, oh, that's a lake. So it's like there's nothing there. And like, I thought that was very interesting and just like, oh, wow, never even thought about that. That's like, that's a great place to hide unless they're looking for water. But it's like, they'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a lake. We don't, you know, we need to go over there. No one's going to hide there because it's underwater. You know, it's like,
that was
really cool.
I'm still going, what makes a lake so, oh, we don't need to worry about it?
Well, no, it's the fact that it was like, people would have
thought it was a lake.
On the map, it's like, oh, there's a lake there. So if they're looking for this guy to be hiding, they might not think, oh, like, you know, he's there. He's going to be at, you know, maybe somewhere else. And they would think, I don't know. It, you know, it's like, it's mountainous. It's like, oh, you know, maybe they would have gone somewhere else. And then, you know, so I don't know. I thought it was interesting in the fact of dealing with the map. And it was like, yeah, it's like, unless they were looking for water, they might not think to actually go and look check there. They might like look at some, you know, like a bunker or train station. I don't know, you know, whatever, something else that's not like that. And I guess it was like Morgan telling Isaac his story about the rest of the gang and what they went through last season, which was kind of going on about like, you know, like just the call back about the tapes and stuff like that. It was like, I enjoyed Morgan sharing his stories to new people because Athea would be proud. Or I guess, well, she would wanted to hear stories, but I don't know. I felt like it was an Athea moment. And overall, I might have hoped too much, but I did get a season 3 vibe from all this, so I hope I'm right because Fear season 3 was awesome. Agua, agua.
Agua, agua. Nice.
Yes, that's my little segue.
Nice callback.
And the last thing, I threw it in the notes because it was kind of like, I don't know if you had mentioned anything or said anything, but I kind of threw it at the end before we started. And the coordinates that Morgan had, which I guess was going to his, you know, secret super water tower hideout. I looked that up. And so it was like on Google from the longitude latitude, that place is located just south of Abilene, Texas, and north of San Angelo. And there was a town that's really, really close there. It's near Winters, Texas, and there's actually a lake nearby there too. So interesting how we, you know, we're trying to find out exactly where they are, like what's going on. That's where those coordinates were. So,
and now we know.
Yes. Well, before we never did. It was like, oh, they flew over a mountain range. It's like, okay, where's that? Oh, there's a nuclear plant. You know, remember last season? It's like, okay, well, how far did they go, and where's the nuclear plant? And it's like, Texas is big, but it's like, you know, it's like there's not it, you know, I don't know. It was very hard to really pinpoint exactly where they were. Now we have coordinates.
Yeah, but we don't know what those coordinates mean. Like, is it for the water tower or?
Well, no. Isaac said, he's like, well, that's how he found him. He was like, oh, you have the coordinates in your bag. And Morgan apparently, I guess, must have been wanting to like leave that somehow, or, you know, to whoever he's trying to find or whatever. So that's why.
Yeah. All right. So, we haven't talked about the dudes that were at the start and the end that said the end is the beginning. First of all, either I didn't remember it or I didn't notice it that they were at the start of it at all. Either, like I say, I didn't remember it, or I was looking away when that was on, because I think I watched the first one on my phone. So anyway, but what was the deal with that? You guys have any thought?
They are looking for the key.
Okay.
That's all we know. They were supposed to be meeting someone because at the end, they're like, oh, I don't think they're coming or something like that, you know? So whatever this key is...
Well, see, we're assuming it's the key, but who knows?
Well, right. It could be completely different.
Maybe it's a guy with a ladder, you know, considering the hatches are on top of the submarine.
Yeah. Maybe it's a key. Is there a key to the submarine? I don't know.
Well, no, there could be a missile key, but I mean, it didn't look like
a missile key. There you go. Well,
no, you need two of those.
Well, right. Maybe they have
one. Well, maybe they have one and need one.
But that didn't look like a missile key, or at least what I've seen in movies. I don't know.
Right. Well, it looked like a security door key to me. Yeah. I figured it was like Jenny's dog tags.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about and had some differing opinions about the bounty hunter and whether or not he should have survived. But I had seen the Talking Dead like special from the week before, well, I guess 2 weeks ago now. And Lenny James was on it. And he had mentioned a scene, or I think they showed a scene with the bounty hunter in it. It was, you know, the one where he cuts the guy's head off and puts Walter's head in the box. And we see the box for Morgan Jones. And he said something like, oh yeah, he was really good, you know, in that one episode or something like that. in the episode, he said it's singular. It wasn't like multiple episodes. So I was kind of like, oh, he's a goner. He's not going to survive on this one. So that was my, you know, surprise lost on that. I thought the cold open was great. I also thought, you know, I mentioned chopping the guy's head off. I thought that was great. I also liked it when Ginny, when she asked about, or when he asked about Morgan, whether Morgan was dead or alive, she's like, I don't know. And I like the uncertainty in her voice. And of course, you know, I like the uncertainty in her voice, or, you know, shock in her voice when she gets that last line from him. Now, I took a look on my second incomplete watch, and I was actually, I like to do this like from season to season, take a an inventory of who's listed. So I looked at the cast members, and there were some changes this season. For one thing, Mo Collins is now listed as a series regular. So she was like, you know, formerly in the guest starring. So she was like a recurring, but now she's part of the, you know, series as a regular, as is Colby Holman. He was, I can't remember what the name of his character was. But
Wes.
Okay. So he was the character, if you don't remember who Wes is, the character that was painting the trees before Alicia started painting the trees. Anyway, so he's also a series regular. And the other character, or the other actress that's listed as a series regular, is Zoe Coletti. And I'm wondering if Zoe Coletti is the actress that's playing the one that just gave birth. I don't know.
No, she looks, she's not young. I just looked her up.
Oh, okay. So
she must, yeah, maybe she's somebody that we're going to soon meet in the Virginia colonies.
Yep. Because Rachel is listed as what, Bridget Callie Canales.
Okay. Okay.
And it has a name listed for Zoe.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on the Walking Dead wiki. She is playing, it says Dakota. Yeah.
Whoever Dakota is.
Right. So, yeah, Dakota.
Just west and north of Virginia.
Yeah.
Sorry. North
Virginia.
Yeah.
Very good.
But that's just Dakota. We don't know if it's North Dakota or South Dakota.
Yeah, west is north. That's good. And I'm really surprised that Colby Minifee, who plays Virginia / Ginny, however you want to call her, was not a serious regular. She was the first in the list of guest starring. So I'm wondering if she doesn't make it through the whole season.
That's, you know, what I'm thinking.
I'm wondering if she like ends up like the, what they call those guys in season 4?
The Vultures?
The Vultures, like even Otto, like the, you know, the Papa Otto, whatever his first name was.
Otto, yeah. Otto,
yeah, because he only lasted the half season as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, so sometimes I wish that they would just like make them series regular so it wouldn't like spoil it, because now I'm starting to, you know, think she's not going to survive. So,
or she'll just show up at the end of the season.
Yeah, it seems kind of a waste, but
no, I agree.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so that's all we have for Fear, but and we've been talking for almost 2 hours at this point, but we don't have a lot to say about World Beyond, but we'll say a little bit. Season 1, episode 2, titled The Blaze of Gory. One of the worst titles I've ever heard. Very young adult, I have to say. Written by co-executive producer Ben Sokolowski and directed by co-executive producer Magnus Martens, who also directed the first episode. The description from AMC.com is, the group adjusts to the reality of life beyond their community's walls. Iris attempts to take charge in spite of Hope's reservations. Felix and Huck trail the teens while Felix is forced to confront unwanted memories. And, well, I know Kyle doesn't have any points, but I'm sure he has stuff to say on it. But LT and I did write some stuff in. LT, if something you say I ended up agreeing with, I'll just riff off of you. So, but why don't you start?
Cool. Well, if I had to rate it, it's going to be 5-ish.
Yup.
And it's 5-ish enough that I didn't really even think of anything snappy to say with the rating.
I'm going to say this. I had a really, really hard time just getting through this one once. I kept stopping and starting and stopping and starting. It took me about a day and a half to just get through Act One. Well, see, so it just, I just couldn't want it. Just, I kept getting bored and I kept on like getting distracted with other stuff. It just, it wasn't working for me.
Well, for me, I typically will watch it on Sunday night and, you know, they typically do the show, you know, show, Talking Dead show, or however they do the repeats. So this time it was, you know, Fear World Beyond. And so I gave it as much full attention as I could the first time and then watched it again to corroborate some of my notes. But I was derping around doing some other stuff while I was watching it. I agree with you in that it just wasn't one of those grip your armrests kind of things. But I've been of a mind where I'll just plow through it rather than have to prolong the, you know, rip the Band-Aid off. Just because the way it normally cycles for me, I'll go ahead and watch it the second time, you know, just to make sure I get through and get my notes. And then I don't think I'd go back and watch it again.
No.
If they do the show, the episode from the previous week, I'll probably skip it.
Yeah.
The thing that got to me, and I don't know if it was, you know, if you want to blame the writers or blame the direction, but it was the flashbacks. Mm-hmm. You know, watching Iris struggle with the walker and then, you know, Felix, how to kill walkers 101.
Yeah.
Watch Iris struggle, how to kill walkers 101. Yeah. And they did the same thing with her and that first freaking walker and all the flashbacks with Felix and his thing about going back home. And I mean, it works when you do it right. And to me, it should be a garnish, not an entree. You know, if you're going to do a flashback, I don't like it when that's the only thing they're doing. That first trying to kill the walker just took so freaking long. I'm like, you know, just come on. You know, either kill it, let somebody help you. You know, let's get on with it. But just that whole thing of her struggling with it, just it was just too long.
All of them struggling with it, like it was just pathetic. You'd think that they would, I don't know, in their training and in their like school book learning, they would have a course, not only like, you know, describing it, but actually let's kill a few.
Yeah. Let's go do the practical.
In a controlled environment, like let's, you know, kill them where they can't get to you, where, you know, you're behind a fence or something like that, you know, just kill them.
do a freaking Michonne, cut their jaw off and cut their arms off. So they're just, you know,
sure. Why not?
Stumpy, jawless heads. But yeah, it was just not working for me.
No, it wasn't for me either.
We know that, you know, Felix and Huck don't know what happened back at the house, and just the whole, you know, you were talking about the road trip exposition with Isaac and Morgan in the show before, and we got the same thing with them where they're, you know, they're trying to catch the kids, and they're, you get your running commentary about their opinion on the Civic Republic. And that's pretty much all it was just them walking and the more
exposition.
Yeah. More interleaving exposition. I called it the Animal House discussion about the end of the species.
Oh, yeah.
Only because I remember that one scene during the party when it's like, you know, would you rather live during the ascendancy of a civilization or the decline of a civilization? But the fact that, you know, Hope and Corduroy Suit Boy kept talking about, you know, the Pleistocene era and the death of the dinosaurs. And, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, somebody watched too many episodes of Nova this past week. it just, that was a little, I mean, it was interesting, but it was just not the kind of really engaging, you know, on point conversation that I really expect in a zombie movie, you know, just not there.
No.
We had talked, you know, when we were talking about it in Fear, I oddly enough had issues with Hope carrying a freaking bowling ball.
My husband said the same thing, and I was just like, I didn't think about it. Like, why would you carry such a heavy thing?
even if it's like, you know, a light ball or forgive me, I know, but you know, it's like a lady's ball. And, you know, granted, my sister threw a 14-pound ball when she was bowling, but it's a bowling ball. It's big and it's heavy. And no matter how enamored you are of the fact that it's a, you know, a hot rod flame bowling ball, it's a bowling ball.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, I've done enough hiking in service and as a scout master,
right.
You know, every extra ounce you carry adds up down the road. Like if you're going to carry 16 pounds of something, carry 16 pounds of water. Carry 16 pounds of food, you know, make errors, you know, a bowling ball. And then when she takes the chance to drop the bowling ball on the walker, it didn't even kill the walker. So, maybe the irony of that's lost on me. I don't know.
I hadn't thought of it, but I should have because – yeah, it's just like you think, how far are they walking to New York State?
Yeah.
And how long is she going to carry a 16-pound ball?
Right.
Yeah, no. No. You know, maybe she doesn't remember bowling, you know, but gosh darn it. I don't think she loves the idea of a bowling ball enough to carry Big Mo 2,000 miles.
Right. It'll end up in a ditch somewhere.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, to put my historian hat on for a second, you know, they talked about during the Civil War that when the troops started off and they left home, they were carrying all this extra stuff and carrying extra blankets and the extra, you know, and pistols and big bowie knives and all this stuff. And the further you have to carry it, you know, some writer of the time said you could tell where the army had been because there was all the discarded stuff laying on the side of the road. So that's why I'm going, why are you carrying a bowling ball? But again, it served part of the story. We were talking about flashbacks, the fact that we know something was up with Felix and Huck knew something was up with Felix, but Felix, you know, kept not talking and he kept running off. And what was it? We both said not very long ago, don't go off by yourself. Because what happens when you go off by yourself in the zombie apocalypse?
You're right.
And I understand you got all this turmoil, but, you know, tell your partner, you know, if your head ain't in a good place, you know, tell the person that's watching your back, you know, and granted, I know why they did it. It added to the dramatic tension, you know, it adds, you know, stuff to the character, but it was just the constant flashback, you know. It just,
I mean, I get that whole flashback, you know, but
yeah. But then it was like what you're saying, it's like Felix is sitting there while Huck is like sleeping and he's like, you know, like taking the clip of his gun and just keep reloading or like, you know, pumping it back in and then like making all this noise. I'm like, how does she even sleep through that for one? And then, you know, and then he's sneaks off and then comes back, but then she looks down like when they're leaving and like the bottom of his like hand is all like looks bloody or like, you know, messed up because he was just hitting that thing so much that I was just like, this is your partner, and wouldn't you be like, dude, you're like acting weird, like you're like signs of like weirdness or like there's trouble, don't talk, like
what, you're not sleeping, you know, right. There's obviously something going on, you're a bag of nerves. And,
and
you know,
your hand is like messed up.
And if why is it suddenly, why is he having that moment now? Like you would think from the sounds of it, they've been out there more than just this one time. So why is this bothering him now? Yeah.
I think that it was the fact they tried to say he was back on his like home street. There was some.
Yeah,
that maybe he never went back to the old neighborhood, but
maybe.
Yeah, I agree with you. It just seemed kind of convenient.
Yeah.
So then we had the scene where everybody chokes. You know, Silas has his big wrench. He has his chance to kill the walker to save Corduroy Suit Kid, and he chokes.
Doctor Who.
Mini Doc. You know, Iris chokes and then Hope chokes. It's like, I'm waiting for one of them to just, you know, just kill the walker, you know, just kill the walker. When they were in the treehouse, and again, maybe this is just my professional experience kicking in, but when they're all sitting there playing Monopoly and Hope's like flipping that Zippo that she found and she's staring at the fire, you know, the little red flag went up and I'm going, sister girl is not all there. You know, something's going on. And then when she lit the baby doll and chucked it out the window, I'm going, somebody's got some fire issues.
I was thinking, well, I was worried. It's like, hey, go put that out because you're going to like set the whole place on fire.
Yeah.
You're
in a tree.
Yeah.
That was the thing I was thinking. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, set the walker on fire. The walker sets the tree on fire. They're trapped in the treehouse.
Yeah.
And so they figure out where the grand blaze is, the BOG. And, okay. In my
career. Not okay.
In my career, I've had opportunities to deal with large fires, large industrial fires. Mm-hmm. Just to tell tales on myself, it was probably back maybe late 90s. There was a warehouse in my hometown that caught fire that was full of old oily rags.
Oh, jeez.
And it burned so badly and so big that we had to shut down Main Street because you couldn't see. And I'm going, okay, so we're talking a tire fire that's been burning for 10 years and you see the smoke and all that stuff. I said, first of all, they would not be able to get that close to it without, you know, succumbing to the smoke, hacking
their Yeah. Tire fires are toxic.
Oh, that's, they're awful.
You know, carbon monoxide, among other things, like, you know, there's all sorts of, like, they wouldn't be able to do that. And with no, like, breathing equipment or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, they'd probably die just from going through the tire fire.
Yeah. And the segue to that is, I was four blocks away from the fire and the smoke was so thick you couldn't see, you know, 10 feet in front of you. And I'm just going, that's a bit much. And, you know, the fact that they get through all the walkers and they get through all the buses and then they realize they're now in the middle of the tire yard. And that sort of goes to my last point. I understand this is a show about teenagers that are going out on their own. But whenever they got through the fence and it's like, oh, the smoke's bad. What do we do now? And I'm like, get out of the smoke. I said, you know, pick a direction, follow the fence, you know, go away from the thing, because, you know, the sticking to the plan of, hey, diddle diddle straight up the middle is not going to work on this.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've already, what was the comment that they made? It's like, it tastes like a skid mark. I think that was,
Something Huck said.
I think that was something Huck said. Yeah. And, you know, if you don't want to go back through the bus yard, I said, look at which way the smoke's going and go upwind. You know, and, but that's me trying to think logically. And I just have this sinking feeling that it's going to be, you know, part of this road trip is going to be, we're going to see lots of bad decisions.
Yeah.
And the hallmark is once you realize you've made a bad decision, you try to make a better decision based on what you know. And it annoyed me that they've set Iris up to be the smart one. And, you know, she froze. She's like, well, what are we going to do? I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I think get out of the smoke would be a good start. You know, I know that, you know, there's an airfield on the other side, but, you know, do something not to stand in the middle of the smoke. Cause, and again, I know it's a TV show. I'm thinking about this way too much, but it just seems like that this is dramatic tension they've added out of stupid decisions. And I'm trying not to go, this is so absolutely ignorant, I can't keep watching this. But I'm just like going, somebody's going, well, you can't kill any of the primaries. I have a feeling that they've got a degree of plot armor, but it's still, it just got to me. And I said, there's no good way to get out of this.
Not cover the show.
Yeah. Well, I think, I have to go back to the archives on that one and pull my favorite quote from Chief Dan George from the Outlaw Josie Wales. We will endeavor to persevere.
Just to get back to the tire fire for a minute.
Yeah.
The problem that I had with it more than anything is it didn't look real to me. Okay, how can you make a tire fire look real? You know, I don't know, but your point, I think things would be melted. They still have all these tires that are just sitting there in a pile. We see fire and fire, like we see this, you know, fairly large pile of tires and we see the fire. Is it on that pile? No, it's just beyond that pile, you know? And then we see another pile that's closer and we see, you know, a fair bit of pile, but there's like a little gap in the pile. And then we see that's where the fire is. And, you know, that fire probably didn't even exist. That was probably After Effects putting in a fire, like visual effects department putting in fire there. It just didn't look real. It just, you know, and the whole premise of it, like, that's the only way you can go. Like, all roads lead to the center of this tire fire, and they can't go anywhere else. Yeah, come on.
They can't, like, go around it by, like, the edge of it. Like, it's not like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and she says, oh, well, you know, that would lead us 60 miles out of the direction. Like, really? Like, find a boat.
Well, yeah, she must be following roads, and she doesn't know that you can actually not, like get off a road and go through the forest.
Like,
and
seriously, like, around the corner. If they're in Omaha, find a boat. Find a boat and row across the stupid river or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I
was going to say, it's like there's a log in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, they must suffer the same, like,
and two,
so true.
And two, the thing about Omaha is that it's not like you've got a lot of really significant terrain features.
Right.
Yeah,
it's flat, right?
It's flat. It's pretty dang flat.
They could have gone around. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Even on the map, they, like, circle it, and that's like, oh, and he's like, you know, like, whatever. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, you could literally go one, if it was like 1 mile south, then go 1 mile west, and then go 1 mile up, and you'll pass it.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to get at. Obviously, they gave them classes on how to kill walkers, which didn't do any good. I wonder if they gave them a class on basic land navigation. Because the first thing you learn in basic land nav is if you run into an obstacle that you can't get through, you box it out.
Yeah.
You just do, you know, you pick whichever side you want to go to, make a 90-degree turn, make a 90-degree turn, make a 90-degree turn, make a 90-degree turn, and you're back on your original heading and going down the road.
But that's too obvious.
I know it's too obvious. It's too much to ask, but
the
still.
I know. The whole, like, where he's like, oh, the sun is your compass, which, yes, I agree, that is a compass. But it's like, oh, but you lose that, it's like, then you'll be lost and you don't know your way. And I'm like, I get that, but the sun is still generating light, so you can use, like, your, like, spatial abilities to know that it's like, hey, I was going this direction west. So if
I am on a road facing west. The road has not turned. I'm still going west.
West, right. It's, the sun is in the west, then, you know.
Well, yeah, it's the thing of, okay, so your point of direction, you know which way you're going, you suddenly lose your reference point in the sky. Are you that directionally challenged that you're suddenly going to, like, you know, spin off into the,
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's no light. Oh, my God. So,
goodness. That's why I didn't add any comments, because I saw all your guys' comments. And I was like, I'll just leave it there.
I mean, getting to my stuff, you know, I said that this is a 5 for me. And, you know, I've explained this on the podcast before. A show has to continually be a 7 or higher for me to want a podcast about it. If it dives below a 7, then we have to examine whether or not we want to cover it anymore. And I'm at that point right now, because last week, I believe, was a 6. I think, was it a 6 or a 7? Oh, that's right. It was a 5 until the last scene. And then I dipped it to a 7. So by this very nature, though, this one being just a ho-hum 5, and even that, I think, is a little generous for me. I'm not sure I want to leave any more feedback for the show. I mean, if we get it and you guys want to cover it, great. But I, you know, especially if I'm pulling back for the show because of Discovery starting next week, I don't really know if I'm going to have much to say. I may just collect feedback, you know, over a couple of weeks, but I just, this episode was a real struggle for me to get through. I tried, like, for 2 days to watch it, and I had to just power through around lunch today to finish it. I didn't care about the story I didn't care about the characters. It just, the only one I cared a little bit about was Felix. And, you know, I could feel for him, but I had a problem with Felix's character too. And the reason why I had a problem, I already talked about, like, why is he having this, you know, existential, you know, issue right now? But also, they got a young Felix character that looked nothing like him, like not even close. So I just had a problem, like, and identifying with young Felix because he didn't look at all like older Felix. And I always have a problem with that, with in general. Like, I don't think that the kids playing Iris and Hope look very much like them either. And as far as, I'll just say this now, it's in my notes later, but is there such a thing as too pretty? Because I find Hope is way too pretty for the Apocalypse in general. And it's worth noting, she is the oldest one of the four of them. She's 24. And the guy that plays, his name is Elton, the corduroy guy, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
He's 17. He's the only one that's like not of
actually,
age.
Actually a teenager.
Yeah. Iris, Aaliyah, can't remember her last name, but anyway, she is 20. And the guy playing Silas, Hal Cumston, I think his name, is 21, from Australia, actually. But I looked all them up today. Aaliyah Royale is who plays Iris. I had it in the notes there. I missed it. And speaking of Iris, she's definitely wearing a wig because that wig does not look good. It looks very fake to me. The wind always wins. It's seems like a callback to what Travis said in Fear, nature always wins, in the first episode. And for that matter, in the second episode of Fear, they were playing Monopoly, right? So they're playing a Monopoly here again. So I thought that was interesting. It's kind of funny that in both Fear this week and this show, they had a treehouse of sorts. Like you mentioned, the water tower, you know. I thought that the, whatever they were, wasps or hornets, inside that walker, I thought that was a pretty cool effect. Nothing we've seen before. As was the walker that was like covered with moss, although I think we have seen that before, but I thought that was pretty cool. But why didn't they just run away from that hornet empty, right? Like, I don't understand how Doctor Who Man, like, got, like, first they start going away, and then the walker's, like, right up on him, and then he falls, you know, and, like, completely inept. Like, all four of them were inept in killing, you know, zombies in this episode, but I couldn't figure out how that walker ended up, like, right up against him like that. It's like, what the hell? Okay, so they came after him, fine, but still, I just didn't see how that could have happened.
Well, it's just, we've said this before, the fact that, you know, walkers can be like right up on you in a minute, and you never heard them, you never saw them, they're in the middle of an open road.
Yeah, they pop out of the ground or something.
Well, it's and the, you know, my favorite reference is always the scene with Lancelot in Monty Python and the Holy Grail when he runs across the field. You know, it's, I agree, Brian. I don't know how, when they were like, ah, run away, wasps, and they run, and then all of a sudden, you know, was this, you know, the sprinter empty?
Maybe he was propelled by the hornets, you know? The wasps or hornets or whatever they were, the bugs just like propelled him. So he was partially carried by,
insect jetpack.
Exactly.
Oh no.
What else have I got? So Doctor Who looking dude. Okay. His name is Elton. He has a camera like an old style film camera. Where is he going to get these pictures developed?
That was my question too.
I didn't get that.
It looks like an old 35 millimeter Leica.
Yeah.
You know, a real old school film camera.
Yeah.
And you're right. I don't think there's like a, you know, a Jiffy picture somewhere they're going to be able to drop them off at.
Like at the campus, maybe they have that, right? So, you know, we can understand that, but they're not going back. At least that's my understanding. They're trying to go back to wherever, you know, her father is, Iris and Hope's father is. So, you know,
bowling ball.
I just don't know. Yeah. The bowling ball.
That's what it is. It's the film is.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple more things here. Why can't Silas go back? Is he like a serial killer or something? You know, a serial killer that can't use this wrench to kill a walker. But like, I don't get it too much. And if you go on AMC.com, if you have AMC Premiere, there's like a scene from next week with him, and it's kind of confusing. So I won't say any more about that, but just makes me wonder if he's like, you know, kind of cuckoo.
Well, I was going to say if you're a Peanuts fan, it's sort of the pigpen cloud of pre-plot angst that's following him so that we can have some story revelation later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you see, I can't go back because I stole someone's sandwich or something.
Yeah.
You know, or something. You know, who knows? But it's kind of weird. But speaking of Silas, where and when did he sew? And did he just sew in moonlight or something? I saw him like on the ground doing stuff, but so he brought a sewing kit with him and there was enough light from the moonlight to sew. Yeah. Well,
maybe he used the LED string lights.
So couple last little things. I did look up because I was curious from last week, Nicholas Cantu. So he's playing Elton. I wanted to know, why does he have a better podcast setup than everybody else? Turns out he is a YouTuber and he has on his channel 431,000 subscribers. He hasn't done much in the past year, I imagine, because he's been busy with World Beyond. Probably had to, you know, they said, oh, can't do anything because you're on this show. But he has a channel called Junkie Janker. So if you check him out, it's youtube.com/ Junkie Janker. If you want to look, it looks like a lot of his videos are game related. I see some Minecraft stuff and, but anyway, so.
Okay.
I was curious. And the microphone he had is it's a G-Track Pro, I think, from Samson. From what I saw, the preview, the next episode looks better. So we'll see. So anyway, I guess that's it for our coverage of both episodes. So I don't really have much for news, but let's just get on to it.
Couple weird stories on the news.
So Fear the Walking Dead this week in the ratings got a 0.41 in the 18 to 49 with 1.590 million viewers. Is this good? Well, I'll just say this. And I say that because compared to the last episode, which was way, way back, believe it or not, the last episode was on September 29th, 2019. So it's been over a year since we've had this show. That the season finale of Fear got a 0.41 in the 1849, same thing, but with 1.513 million. So it's actually up 77,000 viewers from the last time it aired. If you compare it with the season premiere of last season, it got a 0.59 with 1.966 million. So, you know, it's quite a bit lower from the past season, but I mean, we've seen these on The Walking Dead as well. But the fact that the ratings were up versus the last season finale, I think that's good.
Yeah.
Good to know. Now, World Beyond, by contrast, it got a 0.29 in the 18 to 49 with 1.040 million viewers. And that compares to the 0.49 in the 18 to 49 with 1.595 million viewers last week, with The Walking Dead as its intro, you know. So now I'm curious about this. So I wanted to look at this week to see this show, you know, I've said it, I'm not in the target market for it. So I wondered, well, how is it doing in its target market? 18 to 34 would obviously be a better target for it. So in the 18 to 34 demo, it got a 0.17, and that compares to this week's 0.18 for Fear. So, but last week's, it got a 0.22. So, I mean, not as sharp a fall, like, you know, 0.49 versus 0.29 versus 0.22 and 0.17. So anyway, in its demographic, if it's going for 18 to 34, it didn't lose nearly as many viewers. So I suppose that's a good thing if that's the market they're going for. So I thought it was worth mentioning that. And if, in case you were curious, The Walking Dead got a 0.40 in the 18 to 34. I will probably not cover 18 to 34 going forward, but I was just curious about it. But anyway, as you see, guys, for the charts that are in the document, so it's the lowest season for Fear. It's the lowest season premiere to date. That goes without saying, but it's a little better or the same, depending on what you look at, as the finale from last season. Also got Parrot Analytics for this past week, October 4th through 10th. Nothing for Fear the Walking Dead. The Walking Dead, though, went up a notch to number 6 in the average demand expressions for the U.S. It got a 66.4 million total. The top this week was SpongeBob with 88.5 million, just narrowly beating the one that won last week, My Hero Academia, with 88.2 million. And number 3 was Saturday Night Live, which I guess is back, with 86.5 million, obviously, with politics going on, it's pretty hot right now. So that's it for our coverage of both episodes. So Kyle, why don't you tell people how to contact us?
All right. Well, we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead TTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com, and we also have a feedback form at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. You can also call 216-232-6146. And we definitely love to get voicemails from our listeners. And all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media. And remember to subscribe and click the bell to get notified when we have our new videos. Those videos do go out first before the podcast does. So if you want to hear it as soon as it airs, then that's the best way to do it. To support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is in our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clip McCollum and Lawrence Todd, who is over there. Thank you, Lawrence. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast clients of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. It's a site that, like, you can rate individual episodes, or you can then, you know, rate just the whole podcast in general. But it's a great way to, you know, give us even more ratings. And also to remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners.
And it's worth noting that Kyle and I just finished a season covering Star Trek Lower Decks, and you can find those on the Star Trek Discovery podcast on, of course, Talk Through Media. And starting this week, Ruthie and I are back covering Star Trek Discovery. Yeah, so, and historically, Star Trek Discovery has had things like 2.5 hour podcasts and 3 hour podcasts and that. So my ability to contribute as I have been will be start to be limited. I will try to contribute something every week. It may be part of the podcast. It may be the whole podcast. It may just be feedback or ratings or something. I probably won't be covering World Beyond. I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
I'll say it stunk.
I thought that's why you hired me to be the World Beyond Pinata.
Exactly. So you will take one for the team with that. But yeah, I'll keep watching it. But man, oh man, this episode was hard for me. So anyway, StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com is where you can find us. There is a Patreon for that, and that's at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. And we'll probably be doing an episode of that in the next 2 weeks, probably after a couple of episodes of Discovery have aired, and we'll talk about Discovery and Lower Decks, and hopefully not so much about Deep Space Nine this time. Because, oh my God, we talked a lot about Deep Space Nine last month. Not that Deep Space Nine is a bad thing to talk about, but it was 27 years ago. So, anyway. and sorry, Kim. I don't mean anything. Kim and of course, we have a Deep Space Nine podcast on our thing. It just, you know, didn't need to be 3/4 of our Patreon.
You just call. Like hearing me say spoilers on a TV show that's 27 years old.
anyway, for our next episode is season 6, episode 2 of Fear the Walking Dead. It is titled Welcome to the Club. We don't know who has written it, but supposedly it is directed by Lenny James. So, and this is his first directorial debut, at least for Fear the Walking Dead, so that's kind of cool. And we know the title of World Beyond, Season 1, Episode 3. It is called The Tiger and the Lamb, with Tiger being spelled with a Y. So, don't know what that means, but until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.